Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Open your Bibles to the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts. And I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes, which I commanded my servant the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they returned and said, Like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways, according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. What an interesting book. The name Zechariah, the name means that Jehovah remembers. Zechariah's dad, Berechiah, his name means that Jehovah blesses. His grandpa, Iddo, it means at the appointed time. So if you think about those three names, that Jehovah will remember and bless at the appointed time. And it's just interesting how God even used the names to set this up. Because here's a situation. They have been in Babylon, in exile, the people of God, 70 years under Babylonian captivity, in a pagan culture with no love for their God at all. No easy time serving God in Babylon. As a matter of fact, many of the people were getting away from God themselves. And about 50,000 people return with the governor Zerubbabel, the high priest Joshua, and they return to rebuild the temple. And when they return to rebuild the temple, they are able to get the stones laid. The foundation is laid. You know, you remember the time when we had the foundation for the church building here. No edifice, just the foundation, right? I remember the time when Art and his dad, we worked on just putting this addition on. We could just get in the block in the basement. Remember how hot it was? Praise the Lord for today. I mean, I when I joke about being no mosquitoes today, it's not a joke, because now that winter's come by and we're getting closer to the time when those black flies come out, I mean, I'm on a pressure now. I have to get my wood cut before they come out. So I was trekking through the woods yesterday and trying to get a path. I'm going to build a road. If I'm going to cut wood, I might as well build a road. I'm going to build a road, and I have to trek it out, and I'm sinking up to my knees in snow. And it's when, you know, back in the woods, it's nice. It's not that windy. But there's all these things that need to be done. Jobs, not just a foundation. That's not enough. Just having the foundation for this addition, for this building, that would not be enough for us to meet here today. If we were meeting here today and all we had was the foundation, we would be having a hard time with the wind right now. It would be blowing us sideways. For you sinners that went south and are gone, and if you happen to be watching this, it's probably close to 0 degree wind chill out there this morning. So it's a good UP day. How many of you have jobs that are not done? You had job. I got to get this done, but it's not done. I have a list of jobs along. My list of jobs is different than my wife's list of jobs. She's got a list of jobs that need to be done in the house. That's why I try to get outside the house and get my jobs done. But yeah, there needs to be brakes on the back of my truck. I can hear them. You know, I got to put brakes on it. I got to get that job done before I need rotors and calipers. I got to get the brakes done before I need that. There's always jobs that need to be done. And there's always jobs that you started and you didn't get finished. And one good illustration sometimes is people that go to school to get a college degree. It's a 4-year degree. The reason why I mention that, sometimes people take more than 4 years to get it done. You know, it takes a little extra time. The temple had been sitting there for 16 years, just the foundation, and they were forcibly made to stop building. The government and the people made it. They were forced. It was forced upon them. Kind of reminds me of something. But it was forced upon them that they could not build the temple. And for 16 years, they had been building their own homes, but not building the temple. And they got back to work. And after the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah, went after the people, and after Zerubbabel and Joshua, the high priest, is getting all, everybody's getting dirty. Everybody's doing the work. When they got back to work, they were able to build the temple in less than 4.5 years. They were to get the temple built and finished. And that's the kind of the background. This is 500 years before the Lord Jesus Christ walks on this earth. And so we read this text at the beginning of the book here. It sticks right out into my mind that God always keeps his word. As we look at what's the main purpose of the book of Zechariah? Just look at a few of these texts. Look at Zechariah 1, verse 14. So the angel that communed with me, an angel speaking to Zechariah, he's getting this vision from the Lord of what needs to be done. The angel said unto me, cry thou, saying, he wants the prophet to cry out, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. I am jealous for Jehovah is jealous over Jerusalem. God is not done with the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem represents God's city. The city of Babylon, that is the city of the world. And we know that God is not done with that. The prophecies of the Word of God tells us this very clearly. God is going to again deal with Israel, and God is going to come to this earth. His feet will be planted on the Mount Olivet, and he will come to Jerusalem. He will build the temple. And that's what some of these prophecies in Zechariah is talking about. If you look at Zechariah verses 16 and chapter 1, again, verse 16 and 17, therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. Praise the Lord for the mercy of God. With mercy, for my house shall be built in it. Hey, it's going to get done, man. We're going to get the job done. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion and shall yet choose Jerusalem. Look again in another text, chapter 4, verses 6 through 10, just to give you an idea of the encouragement that people are getting here to keep on with the work and to get the work done, and that it will get done. There's going to be a work accomplished. Verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel is the governor. He's the political leader. He's saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Wherefore, before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become a plain. And he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with these seven. They are the eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the earth. He is telling the people, this work, get to it. It can be accomplished. It can be done. It can be finished. You can do anything with the Lord's help. When the Lord's in it and you're serving God and you're trying to honor God and God is in it and God wants the work accomplished, it can be done by the Spirit of God. Chapter 7, verses 8, 9, and 10, similar words here about not just getting the work done, but being clean in your hearts and lives. Chapter 7, the word of the Lord came to Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the strangers, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. So as we look at the book, and there's other texts here, the main ideas of these texts. Chapter 8, verse 9, thus saith the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, that the temple might be built. We're going to finish the work. Same chapter, verse 13. And it shall come to pass, as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah, O house of Israel, so will I save you. Ye shall be blessed. You shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not. So again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah, fear ye not. So the message, as far as the whole book is concerned, is be strong, get the work done. You can do it, and the Lord will help you do it. It can be accomplished. Those jobs that you don't have done, pray over them, put them in the right priority, and ask God to help you get some of them done. I mean, it's the Lord can give you strength to get the work done. The work we're doing today, we're not building the temple there in Jerusalem, but our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord says that he will build the church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, that we can be a part of building what the Lord's doing in this world. He loves the church and gave himself for it. We can be a part of building up one another, building the church, building your marriage, building your family, building your community, building this area, that it would be a place where Christ is honored, where righteousness is exalted. His sin is a reproach to any people, but righteousness, that exalts a nation. We need that. We need people of God to be serving God, living for God, and being compassionate to others, being clean while we're working. I mean, we get dirty in the work. We got to get cleaned up. We've got to be in the Word of God. These first several verses of Zechariah, you see that God's Word is doing a work. We know that God has done some things, that there's been prophecies already fulfilled. We know that. We know when God created the whole earth with the word of his power, with his might, he spoke it into existence. He said, let there be light, and there was light. His word is powerful. We know that the word of God did great things in the past. And we know that God's going to do some great things in the future. We know that Jesus is coming again. We know that there's going to be a 1,000-year reign, that Jesus reigns on this earth, that there is a future that is glorious. We know that that's true. But the thought came to my mind as I'm reading this text of scripture, verse number 6, the Lord of hosts, that the people say, yeah, just like the Lord thought to do to us according to our ways, God's word was being fulfilled. He says, according to our doing, so he dealt with us. God is at work fulfilling his word right now, at this very moment. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We know that that's happening in our own lives right now. God's word is being fulfilled in our own hearts and lives. We know that if a child, a person, someone we care about, someone who doesn't know the Lord as their Savior, we know that if they'll believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, if they'll call upon him from their heart, that he will save them, that his word is sure, that God is still in the business of saving people, of bringing souls to him, that people are still getting saved today. People are still putting their faith in Jesus Christ today. We know that God is still working in hearts and lives. The Holy Spirit is still doing it. The Bible says the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. And that God is, the Holy Spirit's doing that today. Amen. I know he does it in my heart, in my life. I know the minute that I do wrong, that Spirit of God convicts me, and I know it, and it's my responsibility to confess that and get right with the Lord. So the first thing we see in the midst of this message of encouragement, that you can get the job done, in the middle of this message, we see that God's word is being fulfilled. Now, without reading chapters 1-6, this is very light. Zechariah gets these amazing visions. He gets a vision of a red horse on a rider down in the myrtle trees. Reminds me of the tag alders down in, you know, here I am down in the low part of the property, down where the tag alders are, and there's a horseman there. And we see that he's actually seeing the angel of the Lord there, that he's actually being confronted by Jesus Christ. And then he has a vision of four horns and four carpenters, which are the Gentile powers that are overrunning Israel. And then a surveyor, a man with a measuring line. Well, if you're going to survey something, it's because you're taking ownership of it. When mostly they don't do a survey of property unless the property is being changed hands. And the property is going to change hands. It's going to be in the hands of the Prince of Peace, of Jesus himself. And the measuring line, measuring the city of Jerusalem, is for Jesus to rebuild the temple himself. And then we see that the priest, Joshua, he needs dirty garments. He needs to be clean. And he has to get cleaned up before God. And there's a picture there. There's coming a day when Israel will all come to Christ. And there will be a cleaning of the people. And then we see the two olive trees and the lampstand in the vision. And in this two olive trees, this is a representative of the Holy Spirit we just read about. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit. And it's talking about the Spirit of God working in Zerubbabel and Joshua, a political leader and a spiritual leader. But we know because we've read Revelation chapter 11, that there's coming two witnesses. We call them super witnesses, but there's coming two witnesses. They'll have the power of God like we've never seen on this earth, and they will rejoice when those two men finally die, and then they're going to be resurrected. We can read that in the book of Revelation. So as you're reading the prophecies of Zechariah, you're seeing an immediate fulfillment of the prophecies. You're seeing fulfillment at Jesus' first coming, and then you're seeing a fulfillment at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And he doesn't see the church. I'll talk about that in a little bit. But then he has a vision of a flying scroll and an ephah and this wickedness being taken away from the land. When Jesus rebuilds the city, it'll be a place of holiness. The very end of the book talks about it'll be a place of holiness unto God. And then finally, four chariots coming forth from mountains of brass. Those four horsemen, those chariots, they remind us of the four horses in the apocalypse, the four horses of the six seal judgments at the beginning of the Revelation and the beginning of the tribulation in the book of Revelation. So there's a lot happening in this book. But let's go just to a couple passages. Zechariah 9, verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. He's coming in on a colt. We can read about it in, this is 500 years before Jesus ever steps foot on this earth, is born in a manger and lives a perfect life. And then Jesus fulfills the prophecy in Zechariah. He rides in. We're going to have a Palm Sunday coming up. We call it Palm Sunday. It really was not on Sunday that he wrote it, but we have Palm Sunday. It's right before Easter, right? Right before the resurrection, right before Calvary, Jesus rides into Jerusalem. This was the way that a victorious king would ride into the city that he conquered. Not on a war horse, but on a little colt to show that it was time for peace. It was time for them to follow his leadership. He was offering the people of Israel the kingdom of God, even at that moment. I don't know how a Calvary would have happened if they would have accepted it, but they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ when he came in that triumphal entry there in the city of Jerusalem. And the leaders, the religious leaders, they had nothing to do with him. The people cried out, Hosanna, Hosanna, it's Lord, save us. They knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And this is a fulfillment. Zechariah sees a little glimpse of this way back before it ever happened. In the middle of a work, rebuilding a temple, God shows him what's going to happen. Why was this temple so important? Because Jesus was going to come. Of course, Jesus would say that not one stone would stand upon another. Jesus knew that Titus was coming, that temple was going to be leveled. He understood that. But there's coming a day when he'll rebuild the temple himself. I believe it'll be better than Solomon's temple. The people might not have been encouraged. They seen this temple was not as good as Solomon's temple. Our work wasn't as nice. That's how I feel about every carpenter job I ever do. Well, it's done. It's up. The rafters are there. The buildings, it doesn't look as nice as what's supposed to look, but it's done. You ever feel like the work you're doing is kind of insignificant or not up to par? Be encouraged. God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. Be encouraged that you are being used of God to accomplish his purposes. Every day when you wake up, put off the old man, put on the new, and ask the Lord, help me today to honor and serve you in some way, somehow, that I could be a blessing. So these visions were amazing. This triumphal entry foreseen by Zechariah. If you go back to chapter 2, verse 10, I like to kind of cross-reference chapter 9, verse 9, with that triumphal entry, with chapter 2 and verse number 10. It says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. That's what makes our life so worthwhile, because Jesus is in the midst of our lives. He's in our lives. He's in us. That's what makes that's the reason for living, Jesus, in the midst of everything. Jesus. You know, family is important. Church is important. But there's, you know, when it comes down to it and you're laying alone in the dark in your own bed at night, Jesus is there. The Savior is with you. When everything seems to be falling apart, you know that you have a great Savior that loves you, he cares for you, and he's your very best friend. And he's in the midst of our lives. This is so glorious. That's what made the temple glorious. That's what makes this prophecy of Jesus' first coming so amazing. Then we look at another prophecy here. Another one, Zechariah chapter 12. These are incredible prophecies that he sees. You get to this chapter, you keep saying the words, in that day, in that day, in that day. What day? The day when Jesus comes again. The Revelation chapter 19, the climax of the whole book, when Jesus rides to this earth on that war horse. We're not talking about that little colt anymore. We're looking at a war horse. And here it says in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Israel. And we know because we've read the book of Revelation. We know because we've studied Daniel and Ezekiel and Revelation. We know that the nations of this earth are going to try to destroy Israel and Jerusalem. And things are going to be dire. And it's going to be bad for them. And it's going to look like there's no hope, that all hope is lost, that they cannot withstand this in battle and the nations coming and the numbers of people and the armies are so massive. But Jesus says, I will seek to destroy those nations. Verse 10, I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn son. And in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Let's stop reading right there. There is coming a day when the Lord rescues Israel out of that dire situation, and that remnant, two-thirds of them will have died in the tribulation, but that third that's left, that remnant that fled to the wilderness, that remnant that God will rescue, in that day, they're going to see him. And what do they see? Riding on that war horse with all that power, a King of kings and Lord of lords who rescues them in that day, who sets foot on Mount Olivet, who comes just where he left 2,000 years ago and told his disciples to occupy till I come. Just where he left, he's going to return to that same place. The mountain, we can read it in the text. The mountain will be split. There'll be a river. Jerusalem will be a city on a river at that time. There'll be a river. And they will see in that king, not only the nail-pierced hands, but the pierced side. The same that John saw. Go to John chapter 19, verse number 5. In the Gospel of John, we know that John didn't flee there at Calvary. He stayed and was at least afar off, was able to see what happened there on that dreadful day when Jesus was on Calvary, that day that we so desperately needed so that our sins could be forgiven. In John chapter 19, he sees Jesus, and we look at verse number 5. Notice the words that he says. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, behold the man. Now, that's not the verse I was looking for, but in this text of Zechariah, it talks about behold the man, the branch. Very words. Pilate says, behold the man. Later, Pilate says, behold your king. But John sees the nail-pierced hands. He sees the piercing. He sees this soldier pierce his side. It's in the book of John, John 19, 34. Thank you, brother. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. John saw it happen. He saw that soldier pierce his side, and the blood and the water gush out of the Lord Jesus on Calvary. And then when Jesus comes again, that great day, Revelation 19, when he rides on that war horse, when he has to fight against the nations. Look at Zechariah 14, verse 3. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Now he comes as King of Kings, and they see him. They see that nail-pierced hands. They see that pierced side. They understand that all these 2,000 years, Israel has rejected the true Messiah. They weep bitterly, they cry out in repentance, and they turn as a nation to God all together. And the whole nation puts their faith and trust in this one. It's an amazing thing that God, who is so awesome, tells of this before it could ever happen. His word is always being fulfilled. It has been fulfilled, it will be fulfilled, and it's being fulfilled right now. It's an amazing thing. Look at 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. I like the way that Paul, speaking to Timothy here, designates the Savior. how he addresses who he's talking about here. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, and only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He deserves honor. He deserves glory. He deserves it all. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, one mediator between God and man. It's the man Christ Jesus. He is the one. He is the one that Zechariah is being encouraged to keep up the good work. The Apostle Paul, he said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my work. I've done what I've been needed to do. If you've got unfinished business, if you got people that you have not reached yet, if you have something the Lord has asked you to do and you don't have it finished yet, and you're not done with it, be encouraged that God will give you the strength to do it, that it can be done. Don't be the Christian that says that it lacks faith in God and says it cannot be done. I'm still praying in faith for many different miracles amongst us. There's things that we need the miracle of God to accomplish. And it's only God that can do it. And don't ever doubt that God can do a work. Behold the man, the branch. Jesus is coming again. When Jesus came the first time, he offered to the nation of Israel the kingdom, but it was rejected. He was the rejected king. But that's not how it will be when he comes again. They did not want a lowly king the first time. They wanted the lordly king. They did not want a meek Messiah when he came there as a triumphal entry. They wanted a militant man. They did not want a seeking Savior who was seeking their soul. They wanted a Savior that would smash Rome. But that's not what Jesus' plan. He came that he might go to Calvary, that we might have our sins forgiven. And for these 2,000 years, we don't see the church age. We don't see, the book of Zechariah doesn't speak about the church, because if he would have, then would Jesus have legitimately offered them the kingdom? Jesus, the offer to Israel was real. They could have accepted him as their king, but they rejected him. How about today in our own personal lives? Have you accepted Jesus as your Savior, or have you rejected him? Do you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior? And you know, Israel, their bitterness, their turmoil, their grief at seeing who Jesus was and realize that they didn't serve the Lord, they didn't serve the King of Kings, they were very regretful. There's going to be great joy in the day for those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and for those who are serving the Lord. There's going to be great joy. God's going to reward you greatly for all that you do for the Savior, all the things that you have accomplished, and the work that you've allowed him to do in your heart and life, and you're allowing him to clean your life up. You're getting so that you hate sin and you love righteousness, and there's being a work of God accomplished in your life, and there's going to be great rewards for that. But for those who resist the work of God, for those who just say, no, I'm going to serve myself, I'm going to do it my way, I'm not going to live for God, it's all about me. For those who live that kind of life, I think just this bitterness that Israel sees here will be the bitterness that they experience when they see Jesus. We're so close to seeing Jesus. I know it's near. I don't know when, I just know it's near. I know it's any moment. We have a great Savior. These prophecies being fulfilled are amazing. Look at Zechariah 14, verse number 9 in closing here. There's coming a day. The Lord goes forth to fight. The Lord rescues Israel. And then in Zechariah 14, verse 9, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. Jesus, 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 the sweetest name I know.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.